Blog Talk Radio.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I want to touch.
Welcome to Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Join us as we bring weekly cultural topics right here to our studio. You, as our studio audience, are welcome to chime in and call the studio or join us on chat. Because, you know, at Cultural Conversations, we believe that cultural issues really do shape and impact our world. So, join us as we discuss the hottest topics and the cultural issues of our day. Stay tuned. Well, thank you for joining me for another segment of Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Tonight on Cultural Conversations, we have a children's book writer, and I got the privilege of personally knowing her and working with her in my hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana, and she is a sweet and wonderful person, highly creative and very, very successful and talented. And I'm going to introduce her in just a little while, but I'm excited to have her on the show tonight. And I'm excited to have you as my listening audience tonight with Cultural Conversations. You know, we've been bringing cultural topics to the airwaves and to the forefront, cultural things that happen, and not only cultural things that happens, but our ideas and our motivations and things we want to talk about, things that we talk about around our kitchen table, kitchen banter. We've been bringing that to the airwaves for a little over 2 years now, and I'm excited that Blog Talk Radio continues to keep it going and recognize Cultural Conversations has been recognized for its innovative programming. But I couldn't do what I do without you. So I want to tell my listening audience tonight, thank you very much for listening and staying tuned. And with that, I want to say that you can always call the show. Sometimes we have really busy, hot topics. Everyone wants to get in on it, but you are always welcome to call the show, ask questions. If you call the show and no one asks a question, that's fine too. But you can call the show at 347-857-3121. Again, our studio number is 347-857-3121, and it's an online studio, so it's not like you could just, you know, break out of your house or break from work and say, well, I'm going to go and see them and be with them at the studio. Everything is modernized now. Everything is social media. Everything is online. Everything is through the web. And so we have really long arms that we can reach around the world, and this can be broadcast around the world. Not only can Cultural Conversations be broadcast around the world, but we are on demand, so you can access Cultural Conversation at any time through Blog Talk Radio. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll be going into the segment with our special guest in just a moment. Stay tuned. Thank you. Grover Washington Jr., of course, and that just slows our day down and winds us down so we can get ready for to engage with our listening audience, and it also gives us time to engage with our special guests. Well, let's talk a little bit about our special guests tonight. And again, I want to thank you for joining me here on Cultural Conversations, and this is your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. Well, today's guest, we have Allison Ward Neal. And just to give you a little bit of information about Allison Ward Neal, I actually had the privilege of working with Allison Neal, as she was referred to, because she wasn't married just yet. I had the privilege of working with her at the Arts Council of New Orleans. It was a wonderful time working with her. And Allison Ward Neal, what do I want to say about Allison? Well, let's see. That Allison Ward Neal, she's a writer of these wonderful children's books that we'll get to hear a little bit more about. I don't want to give too much away because I want her to actually have an opportunity to come in and talk a little bit about herself and about the things that she has done over the years. She is a corporate communicator, and so get a little bit to know about what corporate communications, what is that, and what does she do? So she is a community, Allison. She writes about kids' books, and she's an author of the popular Ava Children's Book Series, the story of a young African-American girl and her family. She is the author of They Are Algiers, the Untold Story, The African-American Experience, 1929 to 1955. And so I know that Algiers is a community, a neighborhood in New Orleans. So she talks about Algiers, the Untold Story of New Orleans. And Ava, the angel, Ava Lillian's blessing, Ava Lillian goes to school, Ava Lillian's Christmas play, and how to write and publish a book. And so that may be of interest to you. These are all penned by Allison Ward Neal. So I'm going to try to get Allison Ward Neal on the phone right now and in our studios so she can tell us a little bit more about what she does and her book series, and why she is engaged in doing what she does. So hold just one moment. Welcome to the Cultural Conversation Studios, Allison. Good to have you here. Allison, if you could just give our listening audience a bit of background about you, that would be great. Like, where are you from, and why did you decide to actually focus on the career path that you've taken, and also not only the career path that you've taken, but your new book series? Give us a little bit of information about yourself.
Hello? Hello?
We really have to slow it down that time. Now on the phone, we have Allison Ward Neal joining us. Thank you for joining Cultural Conversations, Allison. Play some Kenny G in there until we were able to get you back, but that's great.
Okay.
It gave us some extra time to wind down. So what we want to know is, give us a little history behind Allison, what work you're doing now, and how did you get into this creative line of work of writing children's books?
Okay, sure. I started, as you mentioned, you and I were working together at the Arts Council of New Orleans. I started in journalism and communications, and I've always wanted to write books. So I pursued working in like nonprofit organizations, like the Arts Council of New Orleans. I worked with the Amistad Research Center, and I used my writing abilities as a communicator for businesses and nonprofits. And on the side, in my spare time, I wrote books. And so the Ava book series came about because it was something that I've always wanted to do, write children's books. And when I was getting ready to have my daughter, I thought that it would be the perfect time to go ahead and pursue that dream. I had also visited a couple of bookstores because I love books so much, and I was looking for books for African-American children so that I could start building a library for my daughter so that when she was born, I could start reading these stories to her. And I wasn't finding a lot of books about African-American babies or children in the bookstores. So I started going online, and I was successful with finding things online, but it was still a challenge. And so being a writer and having always wanted to write a children's book, I just took on the challenge to get into the industry and start writing the books just for the purposes of having books available for my daughter because there wasn't a lot, and then also sharing those books with other people who had the same kinds of desires that as I had to read books that reflected African-American children to their kids.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting that you put that out there, that the inspiration, as so many other creative individuals, you know, the inspiration comes from our environment and things that we're in contact with every day. And your inspiration came from your daughter, you know, wanting her to see herself in the narrative, in a positive narrative. One of the things, and you talked a little bit about the industry of publishing, the industry of writing, the industry, that whole creative process. And I know a lot of people are listening saying, whoa, I have something to say, and I have something to write, and I'm a writer. Did you ever see mm-hmm. yourself as an accomplished writer, and how did that happen?
Well, thank you for the compliment. I'm not sure if I'm accomplished just yet because I'm not selling, okay? So in the commercial market, you know, in order for you to be considered accomplished, you have to really sell. You have to be a good seller, not necessarily a top seller. And I have not accomplished that yet because I'm not published by a traditional publishing company. I'm self-published. So my sales, I can't really compete with the authors that are in the bookstores and the ones that are listed on the New York Times bestseller list. But I am a member of an organization called the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and I'm attending a conference next month to start learning more about the publishing industry for children's authors, to get more resources, and to actually become a published children's book author where my books would appear in the stores. So I have a lot of books. I've written a lot of children's books. I've written other books. But according to the publishing industry, I wouldn't be considered accomplished because I don't have the sales record as the other popular authors have. But I'm still very proud of what I've done because somebody has to start somewhere. And so I'm a firm believer that, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So I had to take the steps to get in there, to put the work out there, and to start small. And then I'm committed to building on it and to doing the things that are necessary to ensure that one day I can say I'm an accomplished author. But right now I'm still kind of working at it. I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to improve my craft and my skills. But while I'm doing that, I'm still producing books that are good books that can be a blessing to children as I try to gain, you know, more exposure and possibly commercial success.
Yeah, I think, you know, and thank you for really detailing the realities of publishing. You know, that's one of the realities. You know, everyone thinks that, oh, you have a book to write, you got to get this book out of your computer, and then you have to get it in paperback or hardbound or, you know, get it on a e-book platform or something like that. And then you're going to sit back and you're going to be this accomplished writer. But it takes, you know, or accomplished, your books are going to sell, you know, over a million copies or whatever, however you want to say it. But it takes a lot of networking, and it also takes access, and it takes a lot of funds. So I'm just glad that you kept it real with our listening audience that's out there kind of contemplating, what do I do now? Well, you may be on the right track, but it's not an easy track. It's not an easy path, and you've noted that. Now, one other thing that I want, of course, this is why we are here tonight, is to talk about your book series. You know, why children's book, when obviously, if you are a writer, you can write about just about anything, and you have, but you focus on the children's genre. Why are you there with that?
Well, I think really when I started reading, you know, I was an early reader. My mother is a school teacher and my aunt was a school teacher, so I'm from a family of educators, and they started me off reading at a very young age. And so my mother would take me to the bookstore and I would read these young novels, like children's, what they call children's chapter books. I was reading those at a very young age. And those are the books that really made a strong impression on writer. So I can't just complain about the situation. I have to do something about it.
And that's very interesting that, you know, that you are motivated to do something about it, you know, and that's where a lot of your motivation, you know, is inspired through and comes from. So let's talk about Ava Lillian. Is that right? Ava Lillian, the character.
Yeah.
The little girl in your book, and you know what? She looks like your daughter. The lady looks like the mom looks like you. The husband looks like your husband. It is just amazing. The illustrations are so dynamic and clear. And for the listening audience out there, the individuals who are listening, you need to see this. Look, you really need to see this and be in tune to what's going on here. You can actually see the vivid representation of Allison Ward's face in the cartoon character. So tell us a little bit about Ava Lillian.
You know, I couldn't do it without the illustrator, and the illustrator's name is Ron Florindo, and he's actually from the Philippines. He lives in the Philippines. And we collaborate with one another via email. Everything is done over email and the internet. And, you know, he's just a visionary, and he's taken my manuscripts and he's made everything come to life. I sent him, you know, photographs of us and our family in different scenarios and family situations, and he's been able to capture that. So, yes, definitely I want to give him credit because I couldn't do it without him and his enormous talent. The character itself, you know, I believe that, you know, I was just divinely inspired to write this particular book because I always knew that I wanted to write a children's book, but I kept putting it off and I was postponing it and I was kind of fearful about it because I had done some research on it and I didn't want to do anything that wasn't, you know, as far as working with an illustrator. You know, I didn't want to do anything that was not right, as far as the legal agreements that you have to have in place and all this stuff. So that kind of scared me for a while. But as I said, once I realized, okay, I want to get these books for my daughter. There's not a lot out here. I don't want to complain. I want to do something about it. I just started praying about it, and I actually wrote the first manuscript in one night. I think it took me like 20 minutes, and I was pregnant with my daughter at the time, and I just wrote the whole story just came out of me about this angel who, you know, was in heaven, and God selected the angel to be sent to this family and as a baby to bless this family, and, you know, this is how she joins this family. And then from there, from the aid of the angel, I said, okay, we're going to do it as a series. And Lillian is my grandmother's name. And I really wanted to name Ava Lillian. But my grandmother and I were like kindred spirits. We had the same type of personality, same spirit. And when she died, when she passed on, I really, you know, really felt disconnected. I really felt her absence. And so I didn't think I could bear having her first name be Lillian because it would be a reminder of my loss. So I said, well, I'll make Lillian her middle name. And so that's how, you know, Ava's middle name became Ava Lillian. And so to honor my grandmother, after the Ava the Angel book, I decided to just name all the book series Ava Lillian, you know, as she carried on and, you know, went throughout all of these adventures. But basically, I just wanted to create simple stories about, you know, an African-American family, just going through everyday activities, you know, the child growing up and experiencing life, so that children could identify with the character and parents could have fun and joy reading it to their children. And, you know, it could be for any member of the family, extended family members or friends. You know, I just wanted to put something out there that people could enjoy and take pleasure in, but also so that the African-American children could see themselves in the story.
Okay. Well, thank you. And our next set of questions, we're going to focus on, you know, African-American children seeing themselves in the story, and why exactly did you choose Ava to be a Black African-American girl in the story? So hold your comment there, Allison, but we'll be right back. And if you would like to join us in this conversation tonight in Cultural Conversations, please join us. Please join the show at 347-857-3121. Again, you can join the show at 347-857-3121. Make sure you hold on the line. And if you would like to talk and get right in the studio, I think there's some prompts that you have to go through and choose the right selected prompt, and it'll put you right in the studio to ask any question that you would like. Our phone lines are open, and I'm pretty sure Allison would be more than happy to answer any questions that you may have. We're going to be right back and enjoy some more of Allison and her book series and why she chose that book series. Kind of get in depth of what's going on when she chose, what's going on in her head when she chose that book series. Stay tuned. Well, thank you for joining me again with Cultural Conversations. Me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. We are having a cultural conversation tonight with Ms. Allison Ward-Neal, still getting used to her new name, Allison Ward-Neal. And Allison is a children's book writer, and she's writing books that have an impact on the kids that read them. It has an impact on their self-esteem, building positive self-esteem. It builds the kids' sense of community and family. And so Allison, she's a corporate writer, corporate communicator, I'm sorry, and she's also spending her creative wheels in another area writing children's books. She has a children's book series called Ava Lillian, and this book series, it talks about the life of a very whimsical and wonderful little girl, Ava Lillian, and of course, the illustrations are very colorful and dynamic and engaging in this book, and also the storylines are very positive within the book series itself. Allison is from New Orleans, Louisiana, so I'm proud to say that. And she's on the line now, and she's going to tell us, Allison, I want to know, and I'm pretty sure our listening audience want to know, why did you focus on making Ava Lillian black? Why is that?
Well, just because they don't have a lot of African-American children being featured in children's books. There's really a lack of diversity in the publishing industry overall. And they have a couple of organizations right now that have committed themselves to turning that around. One organization in particular is called We Need Diverse Books, and it's made up of agents and editors who work for major publishing companies, and they formed this organization to try to assist authors of color with getting published. So my main reason was just so that we could be included and that people can have, so that people can have options. So that they can find stories where, you know, their children can see themselves. And it's really important that children see themselves in literature and be able to identify with the characters, because that's when they start to formulate their dreams and their goals and what they want to accomplish in life. And so if they don't see themselves in those fairy tales and those stories, they feel left out, or they feel as if they don't take part in the dream or in the accomplishment. So it's really important. I know we have a lot of popular characters that children like, and my daughter is no different from any other child. She loves those characters as well. But I do put forth the effort to make sure that she knows about characters that look like her. You know, I put forth the effort to make sure she sees herself in some of the popular characters, in the toys and the dolls, because the self-esteem building and the character building, it has to start when they're very young. You know, we live in a diverse world, and it's great to appreciate diversity in other cultures. It's also important that we teach our children to love and celebrate their own culture and their own identity first, and then go out into the world and celebrate others. So that's one of the main reasons why I created these books. And, you know, it has helped. I mean, I've been reading these books to my daughter since she was born, and when she was able to start speaking, she automatically could, you know, identify that, you know, that was mommy, this was daddy. Now, I don't know if she knew that those characters were really based on our photos, or if she just saw a mom and dad and just said mommy and daddy. So I think that other children, toddlers, could look at these Ava books and say the same thing. Well, that's the mommy, that's the daddy, you know, that's Ava, these are her friends. You know, they can see themselves somewhere in this book mm-hmm. or in these characters, and they even have other relatives in the book. So if you have a family of just a mom and her children, or a dad and her children, or, you know, a grandmother, you know, uncles, we have other family members that are featured in the book as well. So I think that, to me, I just had a really great desire to make this an opportunity for people to have the option to present the African-American family and the culture to their children mm-hmm. at a very young age, so that they can teach them that this is who you are, this is what you want to celebrate, and just, you know, just kind of build their self-esteem in that area. Because as African-Americans, we suffer from a lot of negative stereotypes, negative images in the media, and just a barrage of things that come against us and the children. And so mm-hmm. if we can have the opportunity to present these images to them at an early age and teach them, then you can kind of try to combat some of that negativity. And even if it happens to your child and they experience something negative, at least you have some books or something else that you can use to explain to them, you know, about who they are and why they should be proud to be who they are and why they should celebrate it. I think it's just an opportunity to give us more options. But we still have a long way to go in publishing, yes, because there are not a lot of books for people of color.
Right. Especially children's books. Thank you for explaining that in such detail. It is important that kids find, all kids, black, white, you know, Latino, you're Asian, you know, that they find their self in the world's narrative, and they find themselves in the positive world narrative as well. And, you know, we had the benefit, Allison and you and I, we had the benefit of growing up in New Orleans, where, you know, there was a lot of history. We knew our history, mm-hmm. the good history. We knew the bad history. Our parents were not shy in explaining to us who we were in society,
mm-hmm.
and how we should function, and what they expect, what were those expectations within our family and within our community. So we had that benefit. When we went to school, we had books that represented us, you know, represented black aristocrats, represented, you know, black business owners or African, you know, we had that, and we learned from that in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's why I think it's so beneficial and so wonderful that your book series could reach people all over, because, hey, I live in the upper Midwest, where they're just starting to catch on. Hey, I'm black and I have a different narrative than maybe my next door neighbor. Doesn't mean that it's a negative or a deficit. It just means that I'm different, and I should celebrate. They're just starting to catch on that in the public schools, I can read about the dominant culture, but I can also read about my culture. I'm engaged, and I want to see some books that represent my culture at the school. And, you know, we can mm-hmm. change the pattern of education, and I think what you're doing with the book series is right on. You know, and I know you're going to get picked up by a publisher. Or when that opportunity comes, you might just say, hey, you know, it's great that I may get picked up by a publisher, but I think self-publishing may be the way to go for a couple of years. Who knows? So, you
yeah.
know, you may be approach with that. Now, we focus on African-American and say Ava Lillian, that's a black family. And of course, for our listening audience, if you haven't gone out to the Facebook website page, go to my Facebook website page. Just look me up, Ron Mitchell. I don't care if you're my friend or you want to be on my Facebook page. I really don't care. You can go in and you can see the advertisement. And also, I have Cultural Conversations Radio Facebook page out there. But you can see the visuals. Allison, what do you say about individuals who may say, well, that's not the black family, the black family, African-American family, Latino family, whatever, it's broken. So you're putting out something that may not be a correct representation of the Black family. You know, almost like the Cosby syndrome. You know, what do you say about that type of attitude?
Well, first I want to say that the broken family term, I think that started in the 80s. That's when I remember it. And I think that, you know, that people shouldn't use that term. You know, it's something that we should not do, because if a family is lacking in a family member, it doesn't mean that that family is broken. You know, my parents split up when I was 8 years old, but I never saw myself as being from a broken family. I had, my father was still alive. My parents just weren't married. You know, they weren't living together anymore. They weren't married. But I had my brothers. I had my grandparents. They were married. My aunt and my uncle. I had neighbors. I had church members, teachers. I mean, I had a whole community of people that I could count on as my family, you know, in my father's absence in the household. So I think the whole family term, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember that this was a term started in the 1980s, and it was mainly aimed at the Black family. And I think that it's an unfair representation of our families, because Black families have always come together and filled in the gaps and picked up Black or any family member that has been absent, whether it was a mother or a father. So that part, I would say, you know, my parents were not together. So, and I feel as if I had a great family experience because of all of these other people that stepped up to the plate and made a contribution to my growth and development. I wouldn't be who I am without all of these people. So I don't feel as if I came from a broken family just because my parents, you know, marital relationship didn't turn out the way they had initially intended, or it didn't result in a long, you know, a marriage of longevity. So that's the one thing I would say. Now, the second thing, as far as, you know, what I'm putting out, this is really our family. You know, I'm not trying to pull the wool over people's eyes or, you know, make it a Cosby situation. This is really, you know, based on our journey as a family. We, you know, are married, and we have, you know, Ava. And so I'm not, you know, trying to put anything out there, but I think that this is one of the types of families, of the types of American families, African-American families, or whatever they may be. And I do think that people can still identify, you know, with the family. I know a lot of people say, oh, the statistics, you know, they point to the statistics in the African-American community, and, you know, marriage is not, excuse me, high, you know, in our statistics. But again, if you look at America across the board, marriage is not popular among Americans, period. So, you know, if we shouldn't just single out the African-American community for not, you know, gravitating towards marriage and a two-parent family anymore, because I think marriage as a whole in America is kind of becoming something that people are looking at as old-fashioned, or people are deferring marriage in lieu of trying to pursue their careers or doing other things. You know, times have changed. But for us, this is really who we are as a family. And I hope that people won't be put off by it and instead embrace the family. And I think also we are, just as you said, we were raised in New Orleans. So we were kind of raised with some old school values, with old school people, and this is kind of the way they taught us. This is how they raised us to be. And so this is what you're going to see in a lot of the stories is just the reflection of my own upbringing and the people who influenced me in my life. And so, like I said, even though my own parents didn't sustain their marriage, I was still influenced by so many of my other family members who did sustain their marriage. And this is kind of how things were. This is how we grew up and, you know, the way things were in the homes that we were in a lot. So I hope that all families, whether, you know, it's a two-parent family or a single-parent family, I hope that all families can identify with the stories. But I would just say that I came from a family of one single parent in the household, but I still don't see, I just disagree with that broken family, because, I mean, a lot of these families produced great people who went on to do great things, and I know I'm not the only person, so I would say if you have a family, you know, just consider yourself blessed and just cherish the family that you do have, and you can still, you know, accomplish your goals. But at the same time, I think for us, this is really who we are. You know, it's not like we're trying to put something out there that's not authentic. And I think also that these are some stories that need to be told, because people really do put forth the effort to put down the, you know, the African-American family a lot. And so to tell these kinds of stories, to say, hey, we have all kinds of families out here, and this is one of the families, and this is a family story that needs to be told, you know, just like all the other family stories that are being told.
I think that's very important, that you defined family, and when you defined it, as it could be traditional, it could be non-traditional. It could be something that we haven't even seen yet. But you know what? It's all good and it's all family. And I think, you know, when you recanted history, like you went back and say, you know, historically we had been this family, but, you know, some of us have lived in a single-parent household, and other brothers and uncles and whoever, community members, they filled in the gap where a family member may have exited, or for whatever reason may not have been there or could not be there, you know. And I think that's so important, that we learn to define what we do. Like if a circumstance that we come upon, instead of having the world define that about us, say, no, you know, we're a single family household, we're a single family. But we're a single family, and we got this. You know, instead of making it a deficit that you're a single family household, that no, we're just a different type of household that's run by a single person.
Yes.
But then, are we really run by a single person? We're really not, because we have community, we have church members, we have aunts, uncles, we have a whole host of family. And so I like how the book kind of exhibits a traditional family, but then you came back in the book, because I'm looking at the pictures and I have gone online and I read a little bit of the book, but you have all like the church members, and then you have the uncles in the background, and so that's very encouraging to people, that a family, whatever culture you're coming from, you get to decide and define what is family. So we're going to take a little break, Allison, and we're going to come back and we're going to see if we have any calls. We have a lot of people online tonight. If you would like to get a message into Allison, please press your little button and I'll put you online. If you're online and would like to, you're listening to it, but like to get into our online studio, please call 347-857-3121. That'll get you from the chat room or just listening online to actually being able to participate in the online in the studio and have a voice here. So again, just to remind you, we are at Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. I have online tonight, or with me in the Cultural Conversations studios, Allison Ward Neal. She is a children's book writer. She has just penned a children's book series focused on, I'm going to say, Ava Lillian, the little girl, and her family. And we just came from a session where Allison defined family and however you want to define your family, and that we all come with different supports, whether it's community supports, whether it's traditional family supports, whether it's external family support, extended family support, and even our churches or our faith community, that those are our family too. She's, when she comes back, she's going to read a little bit of an excerpt of from Ava Lillian, the book series Ava Lillian. We'll be back in just a moment, and I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight on my cultural conversations here. We're having a wonderful time with Allison and just talking about the things that we need to hear as people of color, even dominant culture. We need to hear what's going on with children's book and how to get children re-engaged, how to build their self-esteem, and how to make the learning happen for all cultures. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, that's chillaxing jazz music. I'm still holding over my smooth jazz from Sunday, from the weekend, so still trying to chillax even at the beginning of the work week here. But this is Cultural Conversations with me, your host and producer, Verona Mitchell. I am on air with Allison Ward Neal, who's a children's book writer, and she has just penned this wonderful series. Ava Lillian talks about a little black girl and her family and her experiences and her journey. And we're excited because we don't have many black book writers, children book writers to begin with, or not many books written about black children in a positive light. And so we're celebrating that tonight on Cultural Conversations. So I'm going to get Allison back on the line, and she's going to read just a little bit from Ava Lillian. So, Allison, you are on the line.
From Ava the Angel, which is the first book in the series, and this is the book that started it all, and I'll read the first pages. This is the story of Ava the Angel and how she becomes a little baby girl. One day in heaven, God looks upon all of his angels. He sees the adult angels, the pet angels, the grandma angels, and he notices the baby angels. The baby angels are playing in a field of beautiful purple lilies. He spots one of the baby angels who is bright, cheerful, and full of energy. She plays well with the other angels, and she laughs a lot. The angel's name is Ava. So those are the first couple of pages that kind of introduce you to the character, and then the story unfolds from there.
Oh, that just sounds wonderful, and it sounds good, even when you're narrating it, you know, it sounds just good. So you're ready to do an audio book, honey. You know, you're past that. You're ready to do the audio book. So just kind of getting back into what do you, as we kind of round out our hour here, what do you want people to gain from Ava? From Ava's story?
I'd like them to gain, just more than anything, the opportunity to be able to have their children identify with African-American characters, from the Ava character and the children and the friends, you know, to the mom and dad and all the family members and the relatives, just seeing positive images of family members and African-American people loving one another, sharing time together, and sharing family traditions. That's the biggest message that I want to convey. And because there's such a shortage of those types of stories available, I wanted the series to be present so that it's not just a one-time thing. Because I know there are a lot of children's books out there that have been written by a lot of famous people for African-American children. I think the gap in that, though, is that it's just one book. So you get that one book, you're happy to have that book written by, you know, your favorite celebrity or superstar, but that's it. And so I started the series so that they could have more than just that one book. They could have a series of books that they could look forward to. They can read about more adventures and wonder what the character will do next, so that the character, the family, the friends, and the whole storyline will continue to be consistent and hopefully grow with the child, so that the child could have fond memories of this particular character as they're growing up and they see themselves and they see their family in these characters, and it just reinforces the positivity that they know to be true, that, hey, my family loves me, my family takes care of me, they celebrate me, they want me to be successful, they want me to be happy. Those are the kinds of things that I want to continue to put out and to bring the joy to the children, to the African-American children in particular, and to let them know that, hey, you are celebrated just like every other culture.
Oh, it is wonderful. Now, now since you got us all engaged with Ava Lillian and her story, where can we get our hands on the book series? You know, it'll be coming up Christmas before you know it, and other different holidays, cultural holidays that we share, birthdays for people. We need to get our hands on this book series, people. So where can we do that?
Yes, you can get the books at avabooks.com, and that's Ava, A-V-A dash books, B-O-O-K-S.com. And the website has all of the information about where to purchase the books, how to contact me. I have some activity sheets where you can print from the website and children can color and have fun with activity sheets. And I also maintain a family blog, inspirational blog from the website that adults can sign up for and receive inspiration on a weekly basis as well. So just visit avabooks.com, ava-books.com, and the website link of how to purchase the books will take you directly to Amazon, and everything is done through Amazon. So your books will be delivered, you know, shipped to your door. You can order as little as one book, or you can order, you know, as many as you need, but it's on-demand printing, so you don't have to order in large quantities, and you'll get the information about your shipping and, you know, when you can expect to receive them. So just visit avabooks.com.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, Allison, I want to thank you for joining me on Cultural Conversations tonight, and it has been wonderful to reconnect through social media, and it has just been wonderful to have you on Cultural Conversations tonight and blessing us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Verona. I appreciate it, and it's great talking to you again.
Okay.
Sitting in, sitting out, on the edge of paradise. Every inch on his skin.
This is Verona Mitchell, and thank you for joining me on Cultural Conversations. At Cultural Conversations, we're bringing weekly cultural issues and topics to our online studio. Join me next week as we bring more of Cultural Conversations. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.
Thank you.